Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's a Faith and Family edition, and I'm joined by my lovely quasi-tanned wife, Carrie. I said quasi-tanned because you just spent almost a week in Phoenix.
Yes.
You seem very happy with
it. Oh, that's so great.
Collecting your notes in your notebook here. It's amazing the things that impact us. It's amazing the things that we're blind to. And today we're going to talk about both of those things and the way that they show up in our life of faith, in our family. Back in a minute.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
Hey, welcome back to the program. We're going to pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus' holy name, and I thank you and praise you, Lord, for the gift of our faith, for knowing you. Lord, I pray that you would give us a deeper insight into the different pillars of our faith, the pillars that will be the basis for us growing and extending and expanding our faith. Lord, we don't want to be blind to the things that are right in front of us. And Lord, we want to gain an awareness of the things that are impacting us. And so Lord, help us to do that today. And I just pray that those who hear this program would be encouraged, supported, and yes, called on to even greater accountability, that together we would grow in holiness and fulfill your mission for our lives. And we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
And with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So growing in awareness, Carrie, and becoming aware of the things that are sometimes right in front of us that we're blind to. I want to talk about that. Which one do you want to start with? Do you want to start with awareness or blindness?
Blindness.
Blindness? Okay.
Okay.
I have been a little bit frantic about this right here in front of me. See this?
Your journal right here? And your book.
My journal and my book, God in America in my journal. Now, there was a lot at stake in this journal being found.
How long have you been writing in that one?
Just a year. Just most of this year, but
is most actually, of this year 2024 or 2025?
Sorry. This journal I started to use on the Camino. This is my Camino
so
journal.
It has all your
My insights and notes from my Camino. I've carried it on since then, and I'm just about done with it. I need a new journal. I have the journal I was using before it underneath it, but this one's a hardcover journal, and I didn't want to take that one with me on the backpack. This one was lighter and more flexible. And so it's fascinating to think, okay, when I'm losing this journal, I lose insights. They're all gone. And they continue to live on in me, but in a way that I'm not always aware of.
Now, can I ask you a question about age? Do you feel like when 20 years ago, your insights were more ready to be recalled, and that now you're 60, it's harder to remember your train of thought or what your insight was? Or is it kind of the same and you just go back and reread your journal and try to recapture the insights or the spiritual guide? I mean, your insights kind of come from the Holy Spirit. Don't you feel that when you write in your journal, it's through prayer and reflection and you're reading something where an aha moment comes and then you write it down?
I'm going to say three things. There are three things that...
This is 1.3, and then I'm going to do 2A, 2B, 2C.
As you were talking, three things came to mind almost immediately.
So
and
exact.
Very naturally.
Okay.
The first one was chess. What am I talking about? Chess is now extremely visible online on YouTube. You can watch videos of the best chess players. And one of the things that emerges is that they peak around 30. And then after that, they start to go downhill, which seems really odd.
Okay. And that's same with athletics. And that was when Jesus died. He was 33.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
There's
a fourth thing. I didn't even think of that.
So no, we already peaked.
Well, here's the it's very specific. And the specific thing is they have increased the number and form of time controls for chess games. And some of these chess games will last 1 minute, 3 minutes, 5 minutes. And to watch these players play a 1 minute game is shocking how fast they can move. And what they will report is that once they hit 30 or even a little older, is that they recognize that as the time format is shorter, they have to be able to process quickly. And their capacity to process very quickly diminishes. And so that's the first point. When you say, oh, do you see some impact with you getting older regarding the idea of notes? The second point is the opposite point, which is that the insights that I wrote down there, if they are, if they are personal in a way that's deep, then they actually take root. Like, so Jesus talks about sowing a soil, right? And the seed gets sown on the good soil and then it sprouts up 100-fold. That's like an insight. It gets sown into someone's life and then it begins to blossom. And so I would say that going back, I've found and gone back to some very old journals and looked at insights, and I'll be able to see the difference between insights that had a truly lasting impact. I look back at it and say, oh my goodness, that has grown and flourished in me, and it's expanded in me in ways that I had no idea about back then. Compared to the other insights that might be more practical, useful, and those I can forget. And when I come back to them, it's like they're refreshed. My goodness, look at that insight. And then there's the last category, which you brought up, which was the Holy Spirit inspired insights. And those, if I don't really respond to them, then they won't take root or take hold. And I'll come back to those insights and I'll say, wow, I was really brilliant. I didn't even realize how brilliant I was, but it was so brilliant that it didn't take hold in my life. So I guess it's a bigger answer than maybe you were thinking was going to happen, but that's kind of my reflective journey. It has all four of those different forms.
Mm-hmm. And my question is, do you see as you age that it's you require more of a place to go remember what you wrote down or remember what you thought? Or
I would say that it's almost more in the day-to-day things.
Oh,
where I
more practical things.
More practical things, okay. Where I'm like, okay, what's the word for that thing again?
Okay, so it's more the deep heart, foundational insights you remember.
I remember them. They're in my blood.
Okay.
They're so deeply part of my life.
But a lot of the insights you get come from what you read in other authors or books, so they slowly become part of your life. They're not a part of your life. Or do you, like the quote you read earlier today in the morning, when it's that profound, do you read it over and over and then it slowly takes root?
Yeah. So I talked about this with Father Tom Forrest when I was honoring him as one of the four spiritual fathers in my life. And he shared this about how he would give homilies, because he would say mass with us a number of days a week in the office. And he would just say, okay, what's the gospel for today? He'd read the gospel and then he would start sharing the most profound things. And what he shared was one time about that was that he didn't need to prepare in the moment. The preparation was the entirety of his life lived as a priest and as someone who had lived with the word of God. So that was the remote preparation that created this whole field that could receive in this particular, if you will, scripture. So when I read With God in America, and I'm reading you this quote about the way in which the ego, the I, has asserted itself, and he became aware of that only now coming back to America, and that what was required was a further surrender. I was so blown away by that, not only because I had read with God in Russia, and he leadeth me more than once each over the course of 20 years, and then really diving into he leadeth me, but because of the life that I had lived and the way I had been formed all the way back in the seminary with regards to this idea of trusting in the Lord and surrendering the self. It was both of those contexts that it dropped into. So when I read it, I'm not just reading it as a standalone piece of content that I look at and say, oh, wow, that's a really interesting thing. Let me hold it up all by itself. No, it's being welcomed into the whole universe of lived experience and reflection and study and formation that I've received on that entire theme. Oh, plus the specific formation around his texts themselves.
As you share that, one of my favorite things to do is find quotes like that and share it with friends or with you or with family, where you can take something really profound and beautiful and just share it in what this means to you or hear what it means to others. There's something about that that is really not something you can't go buy it in a store or buy the experience. It just happens kind of organically. And yeah.
Well, I would say this, that there's that theological principle of the incarnation, that it becomes flesh and the word became flesh, but God's word becomes flesh. The deepest truths become flesh. That's why we hear quite a bit in the last 50 years about the most powerful teacher is a witness to what they're teaching. Mm-hmm. And if they are received and welcomed as a teacher, it's because they're first of all a witness. And so I would say that the lines that struck you the most
are about human formation.
Human formation.
Human heart, the human struggle. It's that most deep inner part of you that no one really you don't expose it to many people. And to even talk about it or try to figure out what am I feeling? What am I thinking? Where am I in this daily kind of struggle? It's just good to be able to talk that through with people.
Yeah. John Paul II, he in Redeemer of Man, his first encyclical, said that Jesus not only reveals God to us, but reveals us to ourselves.
Yes, that's it.
And the way in which we come to see things about ourselves, sometimes it takes a really profound truth stated succinctly that functions as a big, bright spotlight. And it, or, you know, say God's word is a two-edged sword, it pierces, mm-hmm. right? There are these piercing truths that when they're heard, they end up revealing something to us about ourselves. And we can run around and be all excited about it, but everyone else is like, okay, I don't quite get mm-hmm. the big deal there. But it's alive for you. It's a living word for you.
Or just something that I've questioned or struggled with or wondered or pondered. And then someone says it in a book and it has this light, this bright light that shines. It's kind of like putting light, what do they say? Bring something out into the light to disinfect it or to get rid of the bad, but just it cleanses.
Sin grows in the dark. Evil grows in the dark. Things get exposed to the light, get dispersed.
Thank you. So you can say all of that.
Yeah.
So great.
All those different ways of saying
easily.
It. No, I think that, well, and I love when that happens for you. Sometimes that happens when you're getting ready for your, is it a faith sharing study? Is it a Bible? It's not really a Bible study. It's kind of your faith group.
Yes. I don't know what we're called. We're reading a book on the Holy Spirit.
Study group.
I could go look it up on the email. But yes, there's a book we're reading that is a little bit more spiritual and theological than what I would naturally pick up. But I really appreciate the depth and the profundity mm-hmm. of what or how he writes. But it's nice to be able to kind of ask you questions or even when we get together as a group to share with each other and to explore that deep spiritual connectedness.
Yeah, I would say that, and that's one of the themes I want to pick up on.
Is this
that,
part of your blind?
Were we, no, I had a very human level of blindness. In fact, it was my daughter Liliana that gave me sight. It was shocking to me. I had shared with you in our little group text, please pray for me, St. Anthony, you got to come through for me. You got to help me out here. I can't say I looked everywhere, because if I looked everywhere, I would have found it, right?
Yes.
But I kept looking in all of the natural places where my book and my journal would be. And I looked again and again and again and again, 4 or 5 times in the same places, the bookshelves, the desk, the drawers, the bedroom area, the downstairs area, the prayer area, the other area.
What areas? Could you do those again?
I'm telling you. And I felt really vulnerable because I could not find it. Do you know where it was?
In the car.
No.
In the garage.
No, it was 1 foot away from me. The whole time I'm there typing notes up
right
saying,
here?
Where is it? Where is it? Where is it?
Under a piece of
paper.
I put all those books. I should have told you. I put all the books in there.
No, it wasn't in this bookshelf.
Oh.
No, there's that little, what do you call that little plastic thing there that collects?
Yeah, it's like a paper saver. I don't know. Tray.
A tray.
See, these are hard words.
You see how old we are?
We're kidding.
So the paper tray. And it was in the paper tray.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, well, it was just covered over by some papers. I had lifted up the papers, but I didn't lift them quite high enough because I'm like, okay, there's no way that the book could possibly be in this tray because it's not thick enough.
So how did Liliana help you?
Liliana just looked for it and found it.
Oh, did you promise her a drink
down,
or a
She brought it
treat?
Downstairs. She's like, yeah, oh, yay. No. And I
so
swear,
proud.
I was like, somebody hit it on me. There's just no way. There's no way that it was just in that paper tray. That doesn't make any sense to me because, I mean, it was an arm's length away the whole time.
So what is this telling you about?
Sometimes things are right in front of us and we can't see it.
Oh, yes.
That fundamental idea that there are truths literally at hand's grasp, hand's length,
right,
arm's length away.
Yes.
And we are just blind to them. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Hey, welcome back to the program. So, Carrie, it's amazing that there are things that are at arm's length to us that somehow we become blinded to them. And it takes just, I don't know, a cry to God or some kind of breakthrough to say, oh, I've recovered what I lost. All right. So I want to talk about an insight from With God in America, but even before that, I want to talk about a basic truth of our faith that you can say you know it. I can say I know it. But unless you're living it, unless I'm living it, we can lose sight of it. And this had to do with the fact that for the last 5 days, I've been abandoned and I've had to work on my own. While some unnamed person was enjoying the sunny weather in Phoenix at a volleyball tournament, something we swore we would never do. And we did it. But you did it with a great spirit.
I actually went grumbling and complaining. And I think at one point was in tears. Just the pressure and the stress of doing this trip. I don't know what's wrong with me, but it was just the matter of packing and leaving and showing up there and just all the logistics involved. I don't know, but I'm not able to just go with the flow like I used to. So having really low expectations, and I think I mentioned to you multiple times, I really need to pray that the Lord blesses this trip. I really need to get out of my funk. I just am so not wanting to do this trip, and for different reasons, and none of them really good. I just want to say the good Lord went far above and beyond what I could have hoped or imagined, because I really was at the point where I couldn't imagine even a good time. I know that sounds so sad. What is wrong with you? But just going down there, let's just talk about the weather. Let's just talk about.
I want to talk about my blindness first, getting what I came to see. That's the awareness part. I want to talk about awareness, that things we're not aware of. I want to say, so for me, this blindness had to do with prayer. Mm-hmm. Every day I'm talking about prayer on the radio, saying you have to pray. If you don't pray, you're not going to be in touch with God. You won't have contact. You won't have, you know, that sense of connection, that or that communication. Well, it was yesterday was a beautiful day of, no, 2 days ago, a beautiful reminder of the truth about the importance of prayer. And it happened twice while you were gone. And it was the following. You are going to be flying back. And the house was not in order. Everything from our bedroom to the closet, to the bathroom, to the hallways, to the entryway, to the kitchen, to the downstairs area where we're...
I just needed to feel appreciated. If a wife wants to be appreciated, just leave for 4 days.
You have no idea, guys.
The funny thing is, I don't appreciate what I do. So it's good that you told me all that I do. I was like, oh, wow, I do all that.
Well, I wanted to give you the gift of a house in order that was clean and organized, and you would just be able to just whoosh back in and drop your stuff. And rather than, here's a sign of the bomb that went off since you've been gone. So I said, I'm just going to pray the entire time I'm cleaning. Well, it took me about 3 hours. So I prayed.
You were here with just two kids.
I know, but there was a lot of cleaning to do. Well, Annalise was doing her homework and Lily was helping, but she would scamper off a bit when I was doing my part of things. So and you were traveling. And so I wanted to pray for that. And our oldest daughter is discerning a relationship with a guy. And so I'm praying for that. We have other kids in sort of like meaningful, lot at stake circumstances. And so praying for that. And just praying for our lives. And so I ended up praying 7 rosaries, 1 Divine Mercy chaplet. And then in the Liturgy of the Hours, I prayed the Invitatory Psalm, the Office of Readings, morning prayer, evening prayer, and night prayer. And am I flexing? Now, here's the thing. It took me about 3 hours to do all of that. And the part that was amazing, the aha, oh my goodness, how could I ever forget? How do I not see this? Was the presence of God, the anointing of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the lightness that comes with knowing the Lord, the freedom that comes with knowing the Lord, all of that.
Even though you were more or less listening to the prayers, weren't you listening to them on a prayer app?
I had on Spotify for the rosary.
Okay.
And I had the Divine Office app.
And those work for you. You can pray along and focus on that and still clean.
Right.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah. So it's not perfect, but it's a better aid for me than trying to do it quietly in my head, right? Mm-hmm. I couldn't do Office of Readings, the Liturgy of the Hours without the app. But I've prayed the Liturgy of the Hours for decades now, so I know the Psalms.
Okay.
So when I hear them, I could just flow with them. But the point was that it was arm's length away. If you access prayer and the Lord through prayer, you will be blessed. You will have freedom, release, relief. You'll have joy. Things will flow for you in a way that they're not flowing when you are trying to make stuff happen. And it was so palpable that this is, come back to the insight from the script in that's written in a journal. That's an insight that I don't ever want to forget. But it's an insight that only gets remembered if, in fact, we're praying. And so this truth, Carrie, is something that, of course, I know it, but I don't know it as well as if I was living it with day-to-day regularity. And so the challenge that I think so many of us face, brothers and sisters, is among all the things that we could lose sight of and among all the things that we could lose in our day-to-day life, do not abandon your prayer time. Do not miss your prayer time. And so I mentioned that it happened a couple of times when you were gone. And so one time I had started my day, but it got steamrolled. I got steamrolled by my activities. And so it was in the middle of the afternoon. I said, I'm taking my prayer time. I am not going to let this continue. And so I did. And once again, it was this wonderful sense of joy. In fact, it was more than just joy. It was the sense of trusting in God's providence. I mentioned with God in America, that again, these reflections by Father Chizik on his return to the U.S. And one of them, he is writing his reflections on St. Ignatius's spiritual exercises. And so he's writing about these modes of humility and the importance of totally abandoning yourself to God. And I was so struck by what he had to say. I read it to you, yesterday morning. I said, Carrie, you have to hear this. And it was this idea of perfect surrender of the self. And he just starts with the basic truth. Lord, it's not for me to decide or choose what's better for me. You could stop there and talk for an hour.
Correct.
But I won't.
No, that's actually where everything starts.
It all starts with, guess what? Lord, it is for me to decide and choose what's better for me. And I want you to get in line. You know, and I came to the conclusion that abandoning myself to your divine providence and seeking in it your divine will is the only life for me. And I leave entirely to you the choosing of what is better for me. You talk about a truth to put on your mirror. Put that one on your mirror. Lord, I leave entirely to you the choosing of what is better for me. And he goes on to say, I won't read the whole thing. He goes on to say, I realize that so much of the way that I related to the evil that I encountered was it had too much of the intrusion of my own self, that I had to strategize and battle. I had to make it happen, even though you are forging in me. And this is him now talking about his time in Russia and Siberia and all these years, that he looked at it and said, I wasn't fully surrendered to you. I wasn't fully abandoned to you. I was opposing your full plan for my life. And that the faults, imperfections, and other disorders in me never seemed to vanish because of this intrusion of the self, the intrusion of my own self. And so he says, living entirely your life, not the life I've thus far have lived. Like, oh my goodness, I feel like a sloth. I feel like a slug when I think about the life I've lived compared to the life that he's lived. And he's saying, I look at my life and how short I fall. And I'm thinking, why do I even bother when I think about that compared to what he's saying here and this incredibly humble act that he wrote in his reflection? He didn't know it was going to be published in a book. It happened after his death. And he's, I'm ready to begin the new life to which you invite me. And I circled that. I'm ready to begin the new life to which you invite me. And you know how old he was when he wrote that? He's 59.
Oh,
wow. Right. And I'm 60. So it's like, I'm ready to begin the new life to which you invite me. And you've solved every problem, every item in my life by your infinite love towards me. Did you hear that? You have solved. It's so proleptic. Like there are problems right in front of him that he could say, these are impending, imposing. They're all over me. That I've got to figure them out. He said, no, you've solved them. See all these problems? I'm going to laugh at them. Because you've already solved all of these problems, every item in my life, by your infinite love toward me. Carrie, do you know how game-changing that is? It changed my life.
So how does that relate to your personal life?
Perfect.
Like what parts of your life?
I'm doing a touchdown right now.
Let's talk about me. How does it relate to me specifically? What do I get out of this? No, I'm joking.
So selling a house.
Okay. Selling houses.
Selling a house. So here I am. I'm trying to sell this house. And this particular home, and I'm dealing with a couple of agents and a couple, one offer and the other offer isn't happening. And then I heard, okay, tell me more about the offer. It was lower than I wanted. And I'm thinking, okay, this is not going to serve my client the best way. And I'm trying to figure stuff out.
Okay. Like, so just like in finance, when men are trying to provide for their husband, they face the world. They're out there facing the world, the storms, trying to They're trying to provide, and there are a lot of conflicts,
huge
problems, issues. I mean, this is not huge, but this is something you'd face all the time, and it's a problem.
It is,
that needs to be solved.
What I've come to is that new, and I think I shared this with you, this whole new level of surrender. That, you know what? If I've discerned that this is the path the Lord wants me to take, He solved every problem. He is going to take care of us. He really is, really, really, really is our provider. Not me through my hard work. Not me through my clever strategies. Not me through, oh, look at what I'm going to do. And He will regularly teach me this lesson by me having like potential clients fall through, clients that I had worked very hard to achieve. And then simultaneously, within an hour or within a day, clients come to me that I had no idea they were even on the horizon. And I didn't do something to have that client reach out to me and say, Tom, will you serve me? And these other clients that I was working so hard to achieve fell away. And I'm thinking, okay, is there a lesson here? Am I being blind to something? And that's what I mean, is that if guys could know that, if couples could trust that,
well, I think this is another direction. I think He more delights in our relationship to Him, that we depend on Him, that we go to Him, that we talk to Him and bring our struggles and our hope, our faith, our love to Him in those situations. So it's not trying to solve these problems. It's more, Lord, we're in this together. You love me profoundly, infinitely. I could never understand or know, but you've already taken care of this. So there's just this level of entrustment with our life, with those things that are so important to us. I think that's what He wants. And it could,
Carrie,
you
that
know,
is so beautiful.
Because it could be, oh, thanks, honey. Yes. I mean, because you're facing the world, but I'm facing these little situations with my children and maybe in discipline and, or in just personal, just like personal struggles one has. And the Lord doesn't want us to be alone. And He doesn't want us to feel hopeless or sad or burdened or shame. He wants us to give it to Him and to walk with Him and to hope and trust and love.
Did you say something like, come to me?
All who are burdened. No, all who are weary.
Weary and
heavy laden.
Heavy laden, find life burdensome.
Find it
burdensome. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon your shoulders and learn from me. For I'm humble, I'm meek and humble of heart.
Well, I just really think He wants a relationship with us.
Yeah.
And He wants to be a part.
Yes. That actually, Carrie, that's a beautiful transition to awareness. And I want to talk about that because I want to go back to the weather. And I want to get into, no, I want to talk into like
talk
four different, I want to grow an awareness of four levels of how it is we actually grow in faith. All right. We'll do that in just a minute.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out. DrTomCurran.com, DrTomCurran.com.
Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran. I'm with my lovely wife, Carrie, and we're talking about faith and family and not wanting to be blind to things that are so important and fundamental at the foundation of living life well in marriage and family. And a couple of things that we brought up are, in fact, the importance of prayer. And sometimes it just becomes blinded that it's right in front of us. It's right in our hands. And we just choose to let other things get in the way. And One of the biggest things that gets in the way is our own self that is doing the choosing. And so learning to surrender that. And I love the point you brought up, which was trusting in the Lord, that if we're willing to let the Lord get involved in our lives, we can become shocked by his amazing generosity, the abundance of his care for us, the Father. And I want to talk more about that. But before we do that, we have to bring in the awareness piece. That was the other theme of today's program, was not just blindness, but awareness. And that had to do with your wonderful trip with our daughter, Luciana, eighth grader, going down to Phoenix, Arizona. Was it Mesa, Arizona, for a volleyball tournament?
That we left last
Friday.
And when we went to the airport in the afternoon, there were seven different teams from Spokane.
The Spokane airport?
Yes.
Really?
We literally...
You filled
support
the plane.
The entire plane industry in Spokane. It's a thing for sports teams to, not only did we all fly down on different planes, they were on a different airline than us, but you could tell they were all the teams because of all their bags and they'll have their team logo and then different years. So her club went down with five teams. And then you have to, it's called stay to play. You have to pay a little bit more, like $80 more to stay at this hotel. You're required to stay there because it goes towards the city or the town, or there's some kind of monetary funneling that
this
is
sounds like
happening.
USAID. This sounds like
there are so many kickbacks upon kickbacks. I will tell you that because literally, okay, I just said that. We went to Scottsdale. The amount of money in that economy was mind-blowing. I just don't see these cars in Spokane. There was like a
Porsche. There was a Rolls Royce, a Ferrari.
Oh, a Bugatti, a Ferrari, a Lamborghini. Yes. There were. It wasn't like, oh, there's one. The Tesla was like just an average car in this neighborhood. Everyone had a Tesla. But if it wasn't that, when's the last time you've seen a Bugatti?
I don't know if I've ever seen one.
It's just like insane. The amount of money in this town in Scottsdale, which is kind of the shopping place. So one of my sisters took us shopping and it was so fun. But just to say, yeah, they have something going on because we all had to pay extra and we all flew down. And I guess we were the only other state. There was a couple other states that joined us, like Texas sent some players and their Oregon. And not only was there 90 volleyball courts, there were 12 soccer fields and 8 baseball fields. This is like huge sports complex in the middle of the desert, in the middle of nowhere.
Someone had vision and a lot of money.
And they figured out how to get us all down there, suckered us in. It was so wonderful because the weather was amazing. And that's why people go, it's just so beautiful. And I thought, what am I doing in this cold, snowy, icy, flipping Spokane? Like I can't do 6 months of winter. Anyhow, it was amazing. I didn't want to come home. And then, it was neat. It was just really neat to talk with some of the moms and dads and just their care, their love for their daughter and the team. I just am not there, but the way they loved on everyone was very sweet. What was a blessing is we ended up having to, I was going to stay a few more days because of the ticket prices. And then my sister came and joined us. And then my brother and his wife came and joined us, which was unexpected. And so just to have them there, we went and stayed at her house. I had a car that she let me borrow. And so the kind of weight of it all was lifted, and then really enjoyed. After the tournament ended on the third day, where it was a 3-day tournament, I just got to hang out with my family for a few days. And it was such a gift. I just really, really enjoyed being with my siblings. Because we're in Spokane, I really miss my family. And I think I didn't realize that, given that we didn't go home for Christmas. And I don't know, we did our Bible study on Zoom from my sister's house. That was really funny because the three of us were there together. But the weather, Tom, is something that I didn't realize impacts me the way it does, because I could not believe the amount of energy and lightheartedness. I wanted to, like, we're running every day, like, oh, let's go for a run. I never feel that here. I'm like, no energy or desire or motive to go do that kind of exercise. And so I can see why people love California or where it's really beautiful.
Hawaii.
It's the weather that is so motivating, and you don't need to have caffeine. So I'm like, okay, where can we go? It's really nice for like a month in February, or maybe like 3 months. And I don't know. It was just it has me thinking in a whole different way of weather related areas.
So in the Seattle area, they have SAD,
seasonal affective disorder,
where you have the low hanging clouds that are somewhat oppressive with the misty rain that can just go on for, you know, a few months.
The cold affective disorder. It's so cold. I'm just like, I can't do this.
But you know what? You get more sun, and it's bright white, and it's snowy.
Hey,
everything's reflective.
Nice.
It's really pretty
for about 2 weeks.
And here's the thing. It's literally what you said. I used the word literally too, that, you know, you won't get it till you get it.
Mm-hmm.
And the number of times that you shared with me while you were gone,
every time you called, guys, they're so great. Oh my gosh. Did I sound happy?
Well, can I stay longer? Can I stay longer? And I'm like, no, you have to get home. Mr. Mom here is struggling and needs you home. And so my awareness was that I gained insight into just how much you are this engine in a home, that you talk about complementarity, right? That the complementing between husband and wife, fathers and mothers in the roles they have, the gift of the domestic family, right? Mm-hmm. This domestic unit, domestic church, sorry, it's really a thing. And when there's a part missing, how hard that is. And I just felt it when you weren't here, and it wasn't just, oh, I need to spend 3 hours to clean to get back, back on purpose, you know, back on track. But wow, that is so valuable and important.
You know what they had down there that I've never seen before is driverless cars.
Said that to me, and it's kind of hard to even imagine it, a car without a driver.
And it's so weird to see them, because you look over and this car's going and there's no one in it. They're called Waymos, and they started in Phoenix. I think now they've been in San Francisco for a couple of weeks. But it's like, it has cameras that's 360 degrees around it, and you call it with your phone, like an Uber or a Lyft, and then you unlock it with your phone, and it has GPS in it, and it tells you where to go. And the thing about it, you don't have to leave a tip, because there's no one there. But it's pretty much the same price, but they're all over the airport area. And you could
This is one of those weird things.
This is going to happen, Tom.
It's going to happen, but it feels so weird to me.
Don't you know Elon Musk is working on driverless trucks so they can do freight? That makes so much sense, though.
I can't even imagine it. I remember, I have this very distinct memory. I would fly a lot when I was doing church work, right? And I still remember the time that I was on a flight and we landed. We were landing into Boston, and the pilot got on and said, "Hey, everyone, just want to let you know that that was a completely computer aided or computer generated accomplished landing. That the
like autopilot.
Oh yeah, the pilot, the autopilot landed the plane." And I was like, "What?" I felt shaken. Wait a minute. I want you to do that. I don't want a computer to land the plane. That's insane. That doesn't make any sense to me. And that was, I think, in the late 90s.
Hey, I am 100% for an AI robot to clean my house. Like, I am all in. And I'll take one to cook dinner and another one for the yard.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's coming.
It is coming. All right.
Yeah, that was really cool. And another thing.
Well, you can tell me the other thing in a minute. We're up against a break. We'll be back in just a second. Welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran. So, Carrie, in this last segment, a couple of fun things. Awareness. I think one of the things that we have tried to foster in our kids is that idea of self-knowledge, self-awareness about what will make a good spouse. And I didn't know they did this, but they came up with 100 green flags. You know, there's a red flag. Oh, that's a red flag. And having red flags in like a guy, this is again our oldest daughters. And I think were the boys also involved in this?
Yes, the whole fam.
So But they came up with 100 green flags for the future spouse. And I think most of them are related to guys, but you could translate them for girls too.
Yeah, I think the girls were doing it for more of the guys. But yes, they were all in on it.
I'm shocked they were able to come up with 100, which is really impressive.
Well, some of them are silly.
Let's just say
they're all silly.
There's a number that are silly, but then there's the kind of wink clever.
This is not the list where he's honest, he's truthful, he's kind-hearted.
A nice personality.
He's not a millennial. He carries gum and he carries a gun. I mean, it's really goofy stuff.
Yeah. But then there's other ones that are really good. He gets the check. He asks good questions. You know, things like that. He enjoys cleaning.
He throws up because he's so hot.
No, that's I throw up.
Oh, I throw up.
I throw up because he's so hot. Not he throws up because he's so hot.
It's great.
Yeah.
His family's huge. A little naughty. I'm not sure what that means.
Yeah. There are parts of this that I don't want to. They said some of these were inside jokes and you don't know all the answers.
The funny thing is when they all left to go back to wherever after Christmas, I kept finding sheets of paper, lists.
Really?
Yeah. Like they did the bingo card game.
Oh, right.
And then they did the.
What was it? Predictions.
And then we did a prediction. We actually did an AI prediction. So we all. Mary Grace had left back early. So we all did a prediction about her future husband. And this is before she was dating anybody or anything. And so we all spoke into, I don't know what my daughter did it, kind of what he was like and what he enjoyed and some of his maybe idiosyncrasies that were funny and a little bit about his background and maybe what his major was and just goofy stuff. And AI literally, there's the word, generated a picture of what he looked like.
And really?
Yeah. So if you said he was from Colorado and have like Colorado background, or if it was Alaska or Texas, and then if you said he was into art or he was somewhat artistic and played a piano, and it would show him like he had an artistic flair to him. But if you said he was a hunter and athletic, then it was this like manly man with in front of a Jeep. It was just really weird how we were laughing so hard. Anyhow, yeah. So when they left, I found a bunch of little pieces of paper or notes or dictations down in the room where they were playing different conversation games.
Do you know where I found this one? The 100 green flags was under the bed.
Oh,
I found it because I was looking for the book.
What else did you find looking for the book?
No, yeah, I was looking for my book in my journal and I'm thinking, well, it's not under the bed, but let me look. And there was this one sheet of paper there. And I thought, well, let me clean. So let me go pull it out. And it's like 100 green flags. And I had to take a picture and sent it off.
What's your favorite on there?
Number one.
Oh, what's...
Number one's amazing. Number one is where's the scapular?
Now, why is that amazing?
It's amazing because it. You could just say, oh, the thing that you'd want to see in your spouse is that they're Catholic. But you can say so much more about the kind of Catholic that person is by saying, where's a scapular?
Yes.
Right. Someone that age, someone who's a young adult wearing a scapular means a ton. Yes. So I loved that one.
Okay. Here's the top 10. I'll not the top 10, just the first 10. No, I'll just read them real quick. Chef, cannot tell a lie, treats every day like Christmas, plays the saxophone. Plays any instrument, but not like a fancy musician at a symphony. Makes his bed, enjoys cleaning, socks match, flosses teeth, rich as hell, opens the door, style, not like middle school boy, mustache, dark features, can pick me up.
That's a need.
Yeah, like if she's like strong enough to pick her up, not bony. Abs, but not too strong of abs. Wakes up before 8 and after 5. Oh, wait, wakes up before 8.
Yeah, and after 5. I don't know what that means. I think it means like you go out or something, but.
Oh, okay. It reads Bible every morning, can quote scripture, can cook meat, prays the rosary, has a flower garden, grows his own vegetables, smells good. Smells good.
And unique.
Buys me whatever I want. You can tell which daughters said which ones.
Well, and you can see there's almost aspects, like certain realms that are being touched upon, kind of move in and out of them.
Be interesting for families to come up with their own 100 green flags, because when I read this, I see the uniqueness of our kids and it makes me laugh. But I'm sure other families would put in other.
Oh, for sure.
It's a very
knows how to ride a horse, milk a cow, fix a fence. change the oil, right? None of that shows up on here. It knows how to sew a hem, all right? Is that a thing, sewing a hem, right? I like this one. Always goes last for food and first for dishes.
Oh, that should powerful. Be, yes. Has a flip phone. I like that one.
Yeah, that's
they're
really
not
good.
So addicted to social media or their phone.
Yes, yeah, this one is great. Would rather die than play Fortnite. Isn't that great?
Yeah, I think there's definitely one that one of them was loves The Office, hates Friends, the show Friends.
Yeah.
Because a couple of our kids came home and we're talking about what other kids watch or other episodes, series that families watch. And they were harping on, I can't believe they would watch this series. And why wouldn't they watch, you know? So there are a lot of
Downton Abbey versus.
There's just a lot of people have different tastes, but it definitely has our taste in there.
Yep. Like
it's something that you grow up with and it's not wrong or good or bad. It's just different. Yeah, these are great. Anyhow, so you could take, did they do, was the red flags on the other side?
Yeah, I think there were red flags on that side.
Oh, yeah, they did do a bunch of red flags. Cries when he loses. These are the red flags. Can't lift me. He's too skinny. Okay.
Yeah, see, some of those are just the opposite of the ones they came up with.
Yes, bad hygiene. Doesn't wash his sheets. Unathletic. Bald. No teeth. Okay, obviously some of these are just ridiculously silly.
Right.
You can tell when they get silly. Anyhow, it's fun. I guess you could do that with, it's all related to dating, which is really interesting how our kids are starting to get to that
age. Well, this is their stage.
Age.
Yeah.
And the kids do spend a lot of time sharing, hoping, praying, thinking, laughing about the future in-laws and what that would look like. So,
well, and you hear it said that a lot of parents, and it's maybe less in communities of faith, but people that I'll talk to, they'll have grown, quote unquote, kids in their 30s that are not married, never married, and they're not planning on getting married.
Well, and this is a real thing in the last 15 years, too. This is not just, it's really interesting.
It's a phenomenon.
I think I was listening to somebody who said, if this happened to elephants or bald eagles or kittens or cats, that they just stopped procreating. Like this whole animal species just stopped mating, like humans.
Really?
Have. That would be a phenomena, that there would be
a huge crisis.
Everyone would be in an uproar, like when the bees stopped getting honey or when this little fish wasn't, you know, whatever. And now that the species that our human race has stopped, you know, hanging out together and, you know, having,
wanting
you
to
know
be
what,
married.
And just on like the level and the degree to which this is happening is shocking. And look, we couldn't imagine it, that we didn't go on dates and that we didn't hang out and want to date people when we were growing up. But I think, you know, there's several reasons why it's happening, but that's
well,
for another program.
The number one reason, if you want to coalesce it all down to one thing, it's the smartphone.
Yeah.
Because that's accessing to all the other stuff, pornography and social media stuff.
I think it's actually makes also people feel connected in the virtual world.
Yeah.
So there's some false level of connectivity.
Right.
Like I don't need to make the effort to go out and hang out and go play.
It's not risky. It's not dramatic. It's not expensive. It's all these other things. It's just, it's self-absorbing, right? It's terrible. Just so many terrible things. But what I loved about this is I could not only see the imprint of the kids, I could see the imprint of us on our kids with some of the things that they do value.
A little naughty. Is that you, Dad?
Yes, exactly. You're so funny.
The Lord made
me. Had to do that.
No,
that's you, right?
I am. I cannot.
Right. I didn't even notice that one. That's so funny. I read all these other ones. Just to wrap up, Carrie, because we're at the end of our program, just another 25 seconds. Brothers and sisters, just realize that there are things that are happening in our lives that we can get in the way between us and God and how the Lord wants to bless us. And he's just there at arm's length waiting to be discovered, ready to be welcomed into the most pressing things in our lives. And if we could have that faith of Father Chizik, just to realize that all the problems are already solved. The Lord has got us in his hands. He's got all these things in our hands, and open to him and seek him out, even if you're working while you're doing it. God bless.